Well, I mean, Bucks and six.
I mean, what else was I supposed to say? We're going to lose and we're going to get swept? I mean, yeah, Bucks and six always. That's for the culture.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks podcast. My name is KJ Eichstead, and I'm here with Alex Eichstead, my co-host. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, KJ. Hey, Bucks fans. Really excited to be talking about this team. Things have completely turned around. Essentially, since the All-Star break, the Bucks have looked pretty good. And right now, we're riding the big momentum of beating Brooklyn twice in a row and then beating the Washington Wizards. So we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about, as well as we're announcing the winner of the Jrue Holiday jersey. So excited to see who that is. Yeah, I'm excited to dive into it. Thanks for having me.
You bet, you bet. Like Alex said, you know, we're sorry for it's been a little bit of a wait. You know, truth is we've had some pretty cool stuff in the background. We just launched a brand new website. You guys should go check that out. It's Ike Podcast Network. It's got kind of all of our content, or a lot of our content, aggregated in there.
IkePodcastNetwork.com.
IkePodcastNetwork.com. And just some other cool stuff that maybe you guys will, you know, see as in the coming weeks and months here. And we're just really excited to be back and talk Bucks with you guys, because this is, you know, one of our favorite things to talk about. Bucks talk is, it's just, you know, Bucks talk is Bucks talk, and it's got that uniqueness to it just because there has been such a long road to get to this point, and we are almost there. So we're excited to be back with you guys. We're excited to announce the winner of this Jrue Holiday jersey. We're going to be recapping, you know, the recent month. We're going to be talking about the big games, the big series against the Nets. We're going to be talking about Giannis Durant, the Harden factor, you know. Coach Bud, there's a little bit of growing frustration there. Can he do it? We're going to hit our favorite segment, Good Bucks, Bad Bucks. And then lastly, we're going to look ahead and announce the winner of that jersey. So we're in for a great show, and we're really happy you guys are here. So, Al, the Bucks, you know, since the All-Star break, we're doing okay. We're in the three spot. You know, we're the Bucks have a record at the time of this podcast, 18 games over 500. 42-24, three games out
doing
of the
okay.
First place.
Yeah, you know, and that's our change. Yeah,
that's on a four-game win streak too. The problem is Philly had that losing streak. You know, Philly was going through a funk when the Bucks were playing really well, and now Philly's on a six-game win streak. You know, even when Brooklyn's on a three-game losing streak, and we made four games, so we've made up a ton of ground. It'd be really nice if the Bucks could really get that one or two seed. But I've seen some, you know, indications, and just Bucks fans might agree with this, but it doesn't really seem like the Bucks care as much about the one seed this year as they have in years past. Now, I don't know how I feel about
strange,
that.
Yeah,
because I agree. It's like at the end of the day, it's just a seed, but it's like, do you want to put yourself through the ringer in round two? I see a pro to that in the sense where you got to go through the best to be the best. You know, beat the best to be the best. But it's like, you know, maybe let Philly and Brooklyn beat up on each other in this first round if you can get that one seed. And, yeah, you know, and then you're going to meet someone talented in the finals, whether it's Philadelphia or Brooklyn. I personally think it's going to be Brooklyn. But, well, Alex, I just want to ask you that. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it seems like it's almost flashback a couple years ago, Bucks fans. You know this. You remember a couple years ago when in the East it was a big three. It was Toronto, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. And the Bucks were the one seed that year, and Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, beat Philadelphia in seven games on that last-second shot that kind of hung on the rim. And so, essentially, iconic. It's like, I remember thinking about that. The Bucks were already into the conference championship at the time. It was like, okay, which team are the Bucks going to face? These are kind of the two next best teams in the East, the 76ers and the Raptors, and they're going to beat up on each other for seven games. But it didn't seem to change anything, because the Bucks then jumped out to a two-game lead, but the Raptors were able to, you know, infamously win four straight and then go on and win the whole thing. So I do see, you know, maybe it's not everything to get that one seed. Maybe it would be, you know, a miracle. You know, say the Bucks face Brooklyn in the second round and win. Maybe it goes seven games, because that's probably what would happen in a series like that. And then, you know, that gives them confidence that they can beat the 76ers and then, you know, any team in the NBA. So I don't you know, I do want to see them get the one seed because that's just how I am. I think home field, home court advantage is huge in sports, especially the NBA where the fans get so close. This year might be a little different. So I don't think it's as big of an issue, but I still would like to see them get that one seed.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, going back to your point about the Raptors, they were a team that was destined in hindsight. You know, maybe in the moment you couldn't really see it, but the shot that hung on the rim, the fact that Kawhi was there for a year, you know, and then the fact that they stormed back four straight versus the Bucks, you know, and then dethroned the Warriors. You know, that's not like they didn't have a big three. They had a big one, and it was Kawhi. Like, they had a really strong team. But they were like a team that was destined, if you look back in hindsight. And there were some injuries on the Warriors side, but like, I'm not one of those people who thinks that. I mean, frankly, the Warriors are a super team, so I have no sympathy for them.
Injuries or not, they didn't win the whole thing.
Exactly. Like, they should have. You know, frankly, they should have. And, well, actually, the Bucks should have, but we're not talking about that. So going back to my point, it's like, are the Bucks a team that's destined this year? And that is the big question.
When you're saying destined, it almost makes me think of this year, the New York Knicks. I mean, NBA fans.
No, I'm going to stop you right there.
Of course they're not destined, but the Knicks, when's the last time you've seen them in the
We're having fun with it. Dude, I mean, like, never in my entire life. Maybe when Carmelo Anthony was with Amari Stoudemire back in the day.
Back when those
but like, I don't
brutal rivalries with Larry and Carmelo. Yeah. Those are some fun days. But my point being is, like, the East is quickly getting stronger. Like, look at how deep it is.
Any team is destined, to be honest. I'm looking at the West. I'm looking at the East. I don't really see a team that I would consider to say, like, destined. You know, like, the Warriors, when they went through that one year, you might argue they were destined. I would argue that the Bucks looked like they were destined the previous 2 years, and we all know how that worked out. You know, the Bucks the last 2 years – essentially lit up the records in terms of, like, advanced analytics, like surface level analytics, like, you know, point differential type stuff, PER type stuff, like, you know, having an MVP on the squad, having another one and a DPOY, like, it's just the head-to-head matchups. Like, the Bucks check, they seem destined, you know, and we talked about that on these podcasts with you guys, and ultimately they choked. You know, like, that's just is what it is, and don't worry. The good news is that the Bucks are going to win a championship. Trust me, they're going to.
Here's the thing about the East, right? So, like, the East, the Bucks, for Bucks fans, Milwaukee has beat Brooklyn and Philly. They're 5-1 against those two teams. So the Bucks have kind of proven that they may. Based on head-to-head matchups in the regular season, and I know there's been injuries. I know James Harden didn't play. Take it for what you want it. But the Bucks could be come out of the East. And I think then you look at, like, what you're talking about, destined teams, right? I actually am pretty close with a Jazz friend, a friend who is, like, a Jazz fan. And he is super hype. And, of course, being a Bucks fan, you know, we have this stigma, like, okay, we were the Jazz a couple of years ago. Like, this team that was best record in the NBA, and we saw how far that got you. Come playoffs, it doesn't really mean
anything.
All that, but no. The Jazz are 29-4 at home, right?
Okay,
and so that is like an eye popping stat. Like, this team is on pace to get that home court advantage in the whole NBA, and they're elite at home. So that is something that just to keep your eye on. I don't know if they're legit. But then if you look at the West, 1-4 all have the signs of previous pretenders. Like, the Jazz are 48-18. The Suns are in the 2 spot at 47-19. Great team this year, but no experience there in the playoffs. The Nuggets, 44-22. Do you really believe that Jokic is going to take them all the way? I don't know.
I mean, they Clippers. Might surprise some people. I think it's ultimately going to be LA, maybe the Jazz, just because LaChina James is, he's complaining. He's injured. Like, the whole team's injured. You know, it's adversity. And, I think you got to argue out the West. I think it might be the Clippers or the Lakers, but if it's not, I think the only other team is Denver. I mean, like, I can't see Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. Maybe the Suns. You know, the Suns, like, are an interesting team because they do get those head-to-head wins. You know, they've beaten everybody.
They've beaten the Bucks, yeah, twice.
And yeah, you know, it's
they got a good leader.
They got a great leader. They got the star in Devin Booker. I mean, Chris Paul is a superstar. He's still doing it. But yeah, you know, ultimately the Bucks have as good a shot to win as any team. And like we keep going back to it, we got a big three, and the Bucks lead the NBA in scoring. It's as good of an offense as the Brooklyn Nets have. The Milwaukee Bucks are even better. So it's kind of like, you know, and we're not really about the gaudy numbers like we were maybe a year ago or maybe 2 years ago. We're kind of trying to like tinker a little bit and ultimately just like be ready for the playoffs. So maybe that means get up for a big matchup. Maybe that means, you know, make sure you tinker with some different lineups or whatever. I'll give Coach Bud the benefit of the doubt in that regard. Like we're not really trying to just like get the highest analytics this year, but naturally we are the top scoring team in the NBA. You know, we're the second highest 3-point shooting team in the NBA. It's the Clippers and then it's the Bucks. So it's like, the only problem is we give up so many darn threes. But yeah, Al, so I'm just going to throw it back to you, man. Tell us like about these head-to-head matchups, Giannis versus the Nets, the big three versus the Nets. Ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at this matchup, right, the Bucks have now taken on the Nets 3 times. They've lost one. They lost the first matchup.
We could have had that game.
It was 125-123. So keep in mind, that was like nail-biter tight back in January. Much different team. Bucks were still figuring things out. And the Bucks then went back-to-back 117-114 against Brooklyn. And then they win again 124-118 against Brooklyn. And who was the guy that dominated? Well, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo in 3 games. He averaged 37 minutes and 39.7 points, dang near 40 points a game against Brooklyn. And he's going up against KD. He's going up against, I mean, they were trying to rotate Blake Griffin on him. You name it. You know, they were trying to contain Giannis, but he was a man possessed. And that's what I love to see is he's not afraid to go against, be like, you know,
not
our
anymore.
Team versus your guys.
Not anymore. Like, he might have been timid. I don't think he was ever afraid, but there's no doubt Giannis. Ultimately, the Bucks choking was a reflection of, you know, their players not playing what they needed to do in the big games. You know, like straight up. Bucks fans, take that as you will. We're never going to lie to you. But I'm just going to say 49 points. 49 points versus the Nets in a win. It's like that is the Giannis that makes me just believe the Bucks can do it. And like, you know,
and
they
also.
I mean, he outplayed Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had 42.
I know he did. And also, though, it wasn't just Giannis. That's the thing is, Chris Middleton in 3 games, he's averaging 24.7 points a game against the Nets, 7.3 rebounds, and almost 5 assists, and almost 3 steals a game. So Chris Middleton, I mean, he's showing up, and of course, getting no credit again because Giannis steals the headlines, and we love Giannis for that. But Chris, you know, he's doing his job. Don't think Chris Middleton is not playing well in the big games. He's always had a knack for it. Going back to the Boston series, all those years back, where I mean, Chris just kind of came in the playoffs and started shooting lights out, and he's always had a knack for kind of showing up. And then Drew Holiday.
Oh yeah.
You know, the third, he's also averaging over 20 points in these head-to-head against Brooklyn. He's averaging 21 points a game, 5.7 rebounds, and 6.7 assists, while also playing tremendous defense, as you know, Bucks fans. So the fact that the big three are all averaging 20-plus, Giannis almost 40, Chris 25.
That's nuts.
I mean, combine that, that is 85 points you're getting out of your big three against Brooklyn. And I'm not sure if Brooklyn was getting the same production from theirs, but that at least can go head-to-head in the series. So
well, ultimately,
really good.
Brooklyn's going to find adversity in the playoffs. You know, right now, Harden's chilling. You know, Kyrie does what he wants, and KD does what he wants. That's ultimately how it goes. Like, Steve Nash, you know, he's kind of the guy who's holding it together.
He
like,
is.
Like, Blake Griffin's like, man, I just... Like, I'm here. You know, it's a weird dynamic.
like I'm trying to guard Giannis now.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, how cool is that? Like, for those listeners who remember Blake Griffin on Oklahoma as a sophomore, back when he was in college, like
hitting his head on the rim,
crazy of a player backboard. He was, just athleticism, like man amongst boys. And then you see him putting all of his weight on his entire body, trying to keep Giannis off the block, trying to guard Giannis, and Giannis is just an even bigger, more athletic specimen that happens to be more skilled as well. I mean, it's special. It's really cool. I just want to point that out as kind of like a cool moment I realized recently, and I think a lot of our listeners who might have watched Blake Griffin in college and just seen this guy kind of, he's really, you know, ultimately he didn't do what he maybe was expected to do in the NBA, as he's kind of been a journeyman at this point. He's in that stage of his career after the Clippers and Pistons, ultimately not really doing anything there. But, you know, no one can say that guy's like a buck. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's like first overall pick. It depends on your standards.
Let us know, Bucks fans. Is Blake Griffin a bust in your book?
Is Blake Griffin a bust in your books? That's an interesting question. But, like, ultimately, the guy was just a stats putter-upper. You know, he was like a Michael Redd. And we love Michael Redd, but, like, where's
high
the winning?
Athleticism, low skill. That's what but he did develop more skill in he did. Detroit. I'll give you know, him credit he did. For that. You know, he became an all-round player, and now he doesn't have the same athleticism, but I mean, he's not a bad option for Brooklyn. Keep in mind, they also have Joe Harris, who leads the NBA in 3-point.
I mean,
field
man, they're loaded. That's not anything new. But like ultimately, Drew Holiday, that's a winning player who will put up stats. Like Chris Middleton, he's won his entire career with the Bucks for the most. You know, like that's a winning player who will put up stats. And then Giannis is essentially a winning player who will put up stats. Like Blake Griffin on his own team can't do anything. You know, like Los Angeles,
Kyrie
that
on
was
his
all
own team.
That was all Chris Paul. Exactly. Kyrie on his own team cannot do anything. Like, that's just a fact, you know, and people might disagree.
It's Kevin Durant's team.
They might say, Kyrie cold. Like, and like we said on this podcast, like, we know Kyrie cold, but can he win? We'll see, you know, like,
yeah, we will.
And that's another, you know, edgy maybe take that some people. But ultimately, like the Brooklyn Nets right now, they're like Harden's chilling, you know, Durant's doing his thing, and Kyrie is doing his thing. Basically, they're all three going to come back in the playoffs. They're all three going to dominate the touches. And Giannis knows that Brooklyn is the worst defense in the league. He's averaging 40 points, Bucks fans. 40 points against Brooklyn. So it's like, I mean, Giannis at this point, he realizes he can get anything easy AF. And it's like,
look,
you know,
at their defense.
Their defense
isn't
even there.
DeAndre Jordan, who's like, I mean, a relic of what he used to be. He's still, you know, getting his rebounds, getting his
points.
Well,
and let's take a moment to identify when Giannis stuffed DeAndre Jordan, who attempted to dunk over him. That was almost closure for Brandon Knight. You know, coming full circle. NBA fans might know the dunk I'm talking about, where DeAndre Jordan... He did put Brandon Knight on a poster. That was just what it was. And
arguably the
Brandon
most
Knight.
Absurd poster of the last 10, 15 years.
It was a good one. And, you know, the good news is I feel okay saying that because we never want to poke fun at Brandon Knight.
We love Brandon
we
Knight.
We really are
yeah.
big fans of him. And unfortunately, the trade for Carter Williams, like the injuries, he's never the same. So it's like what would have been different? You know, maybe if he would have stayed, we can only wonder. But ultimately, like Giannis blocked DeAndre Jordan at the apex, and he also blocked Kevin Durant, and that's just something that like no one can do. And it's just
Bucks let's
fans,
talk about that.
When I say a championship,
Kevin Durant tried.
When I say a championship is coming, a championship is coming. I can't tell you when. I don't know when it's going to be, but it is going to be here. Milwaukee is going to get a championship. It's coming.
Here's a question I have for you, man. I actually was thinking about this the other day. Is does a one championship in Milwaukee, right? Does that mean more than 3+ championships on a potential super team or elsewhere?
100%. And I'll tell you what, he's got to get 2 in Milwaukee because guess what? Dirk got 1 in Dallas. You know, LeBron got 1 in Cleveland. It's nothing special to get 1. I mean, I hate to say it really is something special, and I'm going to enjoy the you know what out of it. Like, we're going to celebrate like we've never celebrated before, and we look forward to, you know, joining
doing
that celebration
with
all you guys, Bucks fans. And listeners. But Giannis has everything in terms of just keeping it real, right? the Bucks, there's no reason with this big three locked up that we can't rattle off three or four championships. I'm serious, Bucks fans. We can do it. And if Giannis were to do something like three championships in a small market Milwaukee, he will be considered potentially, I mean,
the best
top three.
Nah, yeah.
Like it's, be, there's no doubt. Yeah. Like I've always said, Giannis is the ceiling of a top three player of all time. That's an edgy take. You're gonna have to let me know what you think, Bucks fans. Like, I think I've always said he's got the, you know, that no, this is nothing special at this point, but like the best foreign born player to ever play the game. You know, Doncic has come on the scene recently, but Giannis is, he's gonna win more championships than Doncic.
I don't know if Doncic can he's gonna be a championship.
Well, he's a winner, man. He already is a championship, and he already is a champion in Europe in the second highest league in the world. So that's just, you know, he is a champion. Nice. Will he be able to, you know, be chubby and win a championship? Ultimately, like, I maybe know. If he does like a bodily transformation, because there's no doubt he's got the offensive game, like, and he's savvy. You know, he's crafty in the sense he can get his hands in the pass lanes. But like, he's already a champion. But like, look at Giannis's physique. Look at Jrue Holiday's physique. I mean, straight up, even look at Pat Connaughton's physique. Like, no one on the Bucks is chubby.
Tenacious. You know,
like, Tenacious is a thoroughbred. He's a thoroughbred athlete. Like, it's unbelievable. It's exciting. And, yeah, I mean,
Dante, I mean, it's like, it's crazy how athletic these guys are. But Bryn Forbes, let's show some love to Bryn Forbes. He's a skilled player, and Bryn Forbes is still in the top 10 Bucks fans in three-point percentage. It seems like he's been hanging in there all year. He currently ranks 8th. That's right around where he's been. He's shooting 44.5% from three. And his splits after the All-Star break have actually been really good. He's been one of those players that's essentially like been a big difference. He now averages post All-Star break 11 points a game in 20 minutes. So like, that's really good off the bench. And before the All-Star break, he was averaging around 9. So he's taken it up a notch. That's about, it's over 20%. You know, increase. So you'll take that every day of the week.
Well, here's an interesting stat for you. Brook Lopez, since the All-Star break, he's shooting 33.6% from three. And guess what Giannis is shooting? 36.1% from three since the All-Star break. You got Dante at 37. Oh. You got Pat at 38. You got Chris Middleton at 41.5. That's elite. Jrue Holiday, 42.6. That's insane.
I know.
Jordan Nwora, 43.2. Granted, he doesn't play as much. You know, love to see it. Bobby Portis, 43.7. Not a first-half fluke. Bryn Forbes, 44.2% from three since the All-Star break. It's like, when this guy came over in the summer on his super cheap deal, I was researching him, and I was like, this guy shot over 40% every year of his career. Like, how did we get this guy? How did he just come up? No team wanted to sign him.
Everyone
no
thought he was market. A Popovich product.
So it's like, yeah, it's like, is this not the exact same thing as Joe Harris on the Nets? You know, like, is he not, like he's shooting 44.2% from three. You're like, okay, PJ Tucker since he's come to the Bucks.
Is this not better than from three? Tony Snell, who we gave a big contract to?
Tony Snell, I mean, jeez.
I know, but Bryn Forbes, what a find. What a good addition, late in free agency, kind of.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And when I say let's talk about it, I'm talking Coach Bud.
The elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room. Coach Bud, Bucks fans, you know, we've seen it all. We've seen it all. We know you have too. And you know where we stand on it at this point. You know, we've said what we've said in the past. And ultimately, he's here for this year. You know, they're not going to make a change now. Like, the Bucks are going into battle for the third year in a row with Coach Bud as their essentially, you know, commander. I don't know if what you Giannis is essentially like, the leader.
Well,
but
essentially, Cage, like, you remember that movie Greyhound, right?
Greyhound with Tom with Hanks.
Tom Hanks. So, exactly. Listeners, if you haven't seen this movie, go check it out. It's a nice, quick movie. I think it's about 90 minutes.
86 minutes or
something. Yeah, yeah. Really quick, but really awesome because, so Tom Hanks is the commander. I forget what his rank is, but he's essentially the commander of a battleship on the English Crossing
or
for
World
the
War
U.S.
I, I believe. During
World War II.
It's a war movie.
It's a war movie, but essentially the point of it is that on these ships during these wars, you hear the commander bark out an order, and then you see the chain reaction of like orders that goes throughout these ships. So then in the movie, they show like 10 guys then barking out orders, and everyone just has 1 second to like say what they have to say, but it has to go to the right person at the right time, or else the whole ship blows up because there's like a submarine.
They're evading torpedoes. Yeah, you got evasive maneuvers.
And so essentially, it's like if one guy messes up, that's going to cost everyone their lives. And it's almost like the same thing in the Bucks situation. If one guy messes up a play, that might cost the Bucks the playoffs. And who's the decision maker in the submarine or on the boat?
Yeah.
It was Tom Hanks, the commander. He was the one really being the decision maker and instructing the men what to do, saying like hard
starboard,
you know, or like
90
45
degrees.
He was the one making the calls, and the guys were doing them. And essentially, that's what's going to be like in the playoffs. We saw it
with
Nick
Coach
Nurse.
Bud.
Yeah, we see it with Coach Bud. And how confident are you that Coach Bud leading your ship is going to get you home safe? And I think that's where I kind of have
when
you put it like that, it's like Coach Bud almost doesn't have that tenacity in him.
I mean, I think the more we talk about it, it's ultimately like, it speaks for itself, unfortunately. And I'm not going to say anything, but, we actually, Coach Bud is
luckily
here.
We
have a big three that's just so talented. Like, I think maybe Bucks fans can all agree that Coach Bud isn't their biggest, source of optimism on the team, but it could be worse.
The NBA.
It could be worse.
The difference about the NBA, though, is that with five guys on the court, it becomes more down to the court general, too. Like, we've seen this with LeBron-led teams. He's won championship with coaches that essentially have, flamed out of other places.
David Blatt.
Vogel, Ty Lue, not saying that anything against them as coaches, but just saying, they have the same reputation as other guys.
Ty Lue wasn't the reason they won the ring.
Yeah, and so essentially it can be done in the NBA.
Yes.
So, Bucks fans, it can be done. But I would look for more almost this leadership out of this big three. Like, can Giannis, Chris, and Drew find the chemistry that will propel them to the championship? And that's where anything happens in the finals. And so I think Coach Bud, unfortunately, he's not going to be the best coach out there.
He's
got to
make adjustments. It's like,
but he's got
to make
some
year one
quality
to year
adjustments.
Two. And it's year two to year three, man, you better be making adjustments, or like you might have to get rid of the guy on the spot, just like an if then what if scenario. So it's by no means like a take or anything, but like if you're going to have to make an adjustment in the playoffs, like please let the last 2 years serve as your, your data that helps you learn what not to do, like let's not make any adjustments, because we know they're going to be coming up, and we know the book is out on the Bucks. Around the NBA in terms of they're a different team in the playoffs versus the regular season. Well, ultimately, Drew Holiday's here, and this team is more experienced, more determined than they've ever been just after the crash outs the last 2 years. I think ultimately we're going to win a championship. And as we get closer to the playoffs, I think I'm going to have more of a sense on if that is this year. I know the Bucks are going to get one. I really do believe they are going to get one. And with that being said, man, let's talk some good Bucks, bad Bucks. Give me some good Bucks.
Good Bucks. Okay. Well, good Bucks. I'm going to start out with Pat Connaughton. I mean, against the Wizards last night, Pat Connaughton played tremendous. Off the bench, he played 32 minutes. He was a +7, and he had 16 points. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 of 8 from 3, 6 of 10 from the field, and he hit clutch shots, whether it was a 3-pointer, whether it was a quick dunk. You saw how when he attacked the rim and he he had shot blockers coming after him, and a lot of the time, you know, you just see it coming. The guy's going to swat him. But Pat was kind of clever and decided to just go for, like, it's actually the basket, like what you're supposed to do rather than the Showtime. And so I was really, you know, happy to see him have a play well. It's been a tough stretch for the Bucks, and they need bench contributions like that to keep this winning streak going and keep trying to push for that one seed. So he is my good Bucks. How about you, Cage?
Yeah, and I would agree. Pat Connaughton doing a lot of good things recently. My good Bucks? That's a good question. I mean, the team, I think you know what it is. This is kind of like a unique one, but Giannis has gotten, you know, a 40-point game against Kevin Durant in like a all-eyes-on-me type scenario. And so what does that mean? What is my good Bucks from that? It's that when he's battling against these guys in the playoffs, he knows that he might even have to go for 50 one night. And he knows that he can get that 40. So it's like, look for when the Bucks and the Nets meet in the playoffs, Bucks fans, look for Giannis to have an incredibly huge game one time just because he's kind of like done it already. So, you know, in this regular season game. So I think like, you know, in these other years when the Bucks have been, I would say, beyond the first round in the playoffs, like obviously the Dark Ages, we didn't do that for ages. But the last 2 years, like Giannis didn't really go off for any crazy games in the playoffs, you know, and he may have put up a 30-pointer.
Yeah,
may have had a couple 20s, but like ultimately, like he never kind of, like Chris Middleton last year when we were on the ropes against Miami, he ended up putting the whole team on his back and single-handedly winning us a game. You know, he kind of, like, went off. And Chris has had multiple 40- and 50-point games, as we've said on Ike Bucks many, many times. But that's my good Bucks this episode, is just the fact that Giannis did it in the manner of, you know, a 40-plus-point game against Kevin Durant and against the Nets, his premier competition this season. Shout to Philly, too. Like, you know, he's had some great games against them. And, you know, so I think Giannis is like, I am seeing his development continue. You know, I think a lot of that last year's crash on the playoffs made him an easy target for whether it's national people, whether it's
to write him off.
Yeah. You know, just if anything, just like you see them trying to discredit him, you see them trying to dismiss him. And like, yes, he deserves all of that criticism. Ultimately, the criticism is warranted. But we know, Bucks fans, we know, you know, as well, that, you know, we know what Giannis is. He's a special player, and he's, you know, back-to-back MVP. He's going to deliver a championship to Milwaukee. And you know, he's been working. He's never not been a worker, you know, so he keeps just his head down at work. He's never been a flashy guy. You know, he's never been one of these guys to
He signed in Milwaukee.
So it's like,
unbelievable.
I do believe Giannis is taking those steps to not – basically just not have performances in the playoffs like he did the last 2 years. Like, I think
he can focus on basketball.
He's determined. He's like, look, if I give everything I have this year and we lose still, then I know that I can rest at peace knowing I gave everything I had. You know, and ultimately, like, if Giannis gives everything he has, truly, that is going to win the Bucks games. So yeah, let's talk bad Bucks. Give me some objective Bucks. What's some bad Bucks lately?
Bad Bucks for me is last night, you know, and it's not completely bad with this guy, but PJ Tucker, I know what he's brought in to do. Play defense, you know, shoot the three, a true 3-and-D guy.
Veteran.
But last night, 20 minutes, 0 points, 1 rebound, 2 turnovers. And it's not just that. It's post All-Star break. This guy's played... he's averaged 15 minutes a game. And that's another thing, is like, it's not like PJ Tucker's not playing. He averages 20 minutes a game, and he's averaging 2.7 points a game.
He's frankly not doing, you know what.
Yeah, he's frankly not doing anything, except for, I do understand his defensive contributions and his
leadership.
But
John Horst did trade a future first away in that deal, too. So, Bucks fans,
maybe,
you know,
that is, yeah.
Shout to John Horst for locking up the big three. But, man, does that guy love to trade away future assets. It's like, that's my bad Bucks. I'm just going to say it. Like, it may not be, like, too, like, current, you know, because this is obviously something that happened in the trade deadline. But, like, you know, we're talking about PJ Tucker here. He's not, he might not be back next year. Like, and he's, I like him on our team. Like, our team is better because of it, but it's not acceptable to put up Tony Snell's stat lines. It's really not. Like, not on, on Ike Bucks' viewpoint, not on, I think, Bucks fans' standard who want to win the game, like, win the championship straight up. Like, that's not going to get it done in a championship scenario. And I just, like you said, man, PJ Tucker, he doesn't have to go in there and put up 20. He doesn't have to even go up there and put up 15. He's got to go up there and put, like, 7, 8, 10. Like, he's got to do what Pat does.
Yeah.
You know, Pat's averaging 7.5 points, 5 boards. Like, if PJ Tucker were to do that, you know, we could win a championship. And so I really like your bad box this week.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's not really like it's too bad because you understand his role. It's not like PJ Tucker is really going to be the deciding factor here, but it's like when you see those outliers, and this is like almost what comes back to bite the Bucks in the playoffs sometimes, is these outliers in our box scores. It's like these zeros. You know Family Feud, right, Bucks fans? And at the end there's that quick fast 20 money. Second called Fast Money, where, you know, you rattle them off, and what is the worst thing to get? It's that zero. Because that really screws up everything for the next person. You just got to get some points. Like, whether you get 5 or 7, you're just like,
you're building up.
Yeah, you're moving the chance. But when you come up with the zero spot, that's really when you're like, okay, there's a good chance we're not walking away with this fast money, this 20K or whatever it is. Yeah,
it's always hilarious when, like, the second guy comes in, he's just got, like, no chance.
Yeah. No, you're like, you need 155 points.
Or, I guess it is kind of nice and the first person just nails it, and, you know, the next guy has got to get, like, 30 points or something, you know.
Which would you rather be, the first or second guy?
I just think we'd. I don't know. Honestly, it'd just be funny either way.
Yeah, it would be. An analogy. You know, like, essentially the box score, bringing the point back home, is the Bucks need contributions from anyone who's playing significant minutes. It's not acceptable to score, like, hardly any points and get minutes in the playoffs.
Not in a championship squad.
Yeah, not in a championship squad. So,
and you know what another direct comparison this is for all those fans in Wisconsin who listen to this? We have, like, a pretty international, a wide international listener base for Ike Bucks, just given the Giannis effect, and the Bucks are gradually being more and more international because of that. But also, like, a ton of listeners are in Wisconsin. So a direct example is the Wisconsin Badgers basketball team. Like, years and years and years, they've had starters, and then they've had rotation players who put up zeros. You know, like, they'll put up zeros and twos. And, like, ultimately, you're like, why aren't the Badgers better? You know, like, we could talk for years about this, and we don't want to do it right now, Bucks fans. Trust me, we're not going to get into it. But, like, for those in Wisconsin, like, we know, you know what we mean. And kind of to bring Al's point home, you just got to, you know, put up, like, 5 points, 7 points.
Chinks in the armor. It's like, you can't have a chink in the armor. If you have a player out, like, there,
I don't care how much
you're getting beat, you're done.
I don't care how much PJ Tucker talks if he's putting up 0 points. You know, like,
I don't care how many shoes he wears.
I don't care how many shoes he wears. I frankly could care less. And
me,
like,
too.
Enough
with that.
Well, I mean, let's not, you know, it's all good. You know, it's all good. But, like, you know, ultimately, like, they're showing the camera on PJ Tucker, like, wow, like, you know, tremendous leadership. And it's true. That is leadership. That's, like, on-court leadership. And the Bucks need that because Giannis is naturally quiet, you know. And Chris likes to talk. Drew likes to talk, which is great. But, like, you know, every championship team needs that. Like, LeBron is – the one huge difference between LeBron and Giannis is that LeBron is, like, coach on the floor, you know. And no one will ever talk about his basketball IQ, I guess. So
Giannis is screaming out sometimes. Spoken English.
No, he's good. Yeah,
I know he's amazing at English.
Yeah, come on.
It's amazing to see how good he is. And I do think Giannis is a strong leader and will grow into that more of the floor general. But for him, he needs a.
Well, it's like, to wrap up your point, like, PJ Tucker, we don't care how much the guy's talking if he puts up 0 points. Like, please just put up 7 and 5. And I think if everyone does that, like, you put up, like, an adequate rotation player, like, you come in, you do your job. I don't care what basketball player you're, like, scoring 0 points is not your
job.
It
feels bad. Yeah, that's, like, where you're like, holy cow, I just messed up my point scoring average.
Yeah, I mean, so I think
it's like
that's
going
the main
0 for 5
thing.
Like, in a baseball game or something.
We love the on-court leadership, and ultimately PJ Tucker, just to reiterate what I said a couple minutes ago, is he does make our team better.
But that's, hey, we love to talk good Bucks, bad Bucks, because we can talk about things like that. You know, we're overwhelming. Like we love to. I mean, national media. You guys understand. Anyone who's kind of in the sports world lately, like national media is getting crazy out there, and you know, we want to make sure that we're always giving you guys accurate info. You know, we do have legitimate sources, and frankly, a lot of the media in Wisconsin and even, you know, beyond lately has kind of exposed themselves as not having any sources, frankly, just the way they've conducted themselves. And then these narratives begin to fall apart. But trust us, Bucks fans, like we're always going to be loyal to Milwaukee, loyal to the team, loyal to Giannis. When the national media was saying that he wasn't going to sign here, you know, we never wavered once. And that's because we do have boots on the ground. We do have some birds, as they like to say. And without further ado, I think it's a great time to give away a Jrue Holiday jersey.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, the moment of truth. This thing is going to be awesome. We've wanted to give away a Jrue Holiday jersey for a while because it's like, you know, he comes in, but then he takes a while to...
amazing player.
Yeah, and you just see the effort he puts in on defense, and he's hard not to like. He's a really likable guy, I feel like.
Well, I mean, dude, of course. You know, the guy's a two-way point guard all-star. Like, I love the man, and he's a great guy off the court, too. But yeah, he is. And we wanted to give away a Jrue Holiday jersey because he's been balling. And guess what? He committed to Milwaukee long-term. He's a big part of what we're doing here. He's an exciting player to watch. And a lot of Bucks fans are asking, like, hey, like, how was it, like, we're gonna get you guys a Jrue Holiday jersey straight from NBAShop.com. Like, don't worry. It's going to be official as it gets. And without further ado,
One more thing. Another reason why we're giving this Jrue Holiday jersey away, it's not only because we love Jrue Holiday. He's a great player, great guy. It's because, Bucks fans, we want to say thank you to you guys because as of this podcast, Ike Bucks is now officially the number one rated Bucks podcast on the Apple Podcast platform. And that is just so amazing, and we could not thank you guys more for honestly showing us the support all around the world, the listeners, on the Twitter accounts, you know, engaging with the podcast. And that's why we want to give this giveaway. It's really, you know, a celebration to you guys who have given us so much, allowing us to have fun out here, come on, talk some Bucks, and so I'm really excited to give that for that reason too.
Yeah, and beyond fun, you know, it's like almost support, like, you know, doing like a duty for the squad. Like, they deserve, you know, like unbiased, you know, support, I guess, from a media standpoint. And they do get that, you know, Giannis garners his respect just because his story is so pure. But honestly, Bucks fans, like, we couldn't do any of this without your help. And you guys and you girls and everyone around the world in Wisconsin and throughout the U.S. and beyond just listening to this and supporting it. You know, it means a ton. Everyone who's written a nice review, that means so much. Like, we read through some of these, and it's surreal. It's crazy. You know, we feel the same way whenever we have these conversations with you guys.
And it's like, so cool to see people who have really been along this Ike Bucks journey with us. Like, from when we first started the account.
Highs and lows.
Like, at the dark ages of the beginning of Giannis's career. The kid era. And essentially... a lot of you have been through it the whole way, and here we are, and here we are announcing a Jrue Holiday jersey. He's on our team. Let's, you know, enjoy this, and let's give this jersey away to lucky fans. So, Cage, you want to tell them who's going to be walking away with this?
Okay. So if you don't win, there's going to be many more giveaways to come. I want to thank everybody for participating, and without further ado, the winner of the official Jrue Holiday jersey is Brandon Krisnovich at B Krisnovich. Congratulations, you've won an official Jrue Holiday jersey. That's going to be sick. Send us a DM with your shipping info. We're going to get that right over to you. You know, honestly, Bucks fans, like we just said, amazing support, amazing, just love being shown. We're so thankful for everyone. So thankful for all you guys. And it's, you can feel the energy in the team. Like, it's almost like this team is different. The regular season, maybe
a little, you know, choppy right now, but it's almost like you look at Giannis, you look at Drew, you look at Middleton, the way they're playing and our supporting cast, it's almost like it's better supporting cast than it has been the previous 2 years. And there's just a lot to like about this team, and there's also a lot to like about the landscape in the East. So there's a lot of optimism on the horizon in the Bucks, in Wisconsin sports. Just, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for, and you know, the yeah. Bucks are – we're going to have a lot of fun on this journey as it continues to unfold. So I just want to remind everyone, we do have some really cool stuff coming out on our other podcast. So I just want to mention the website, IkePodcastNetwork.com. You can find all of our stuff there if you're looking for a place to go. We are on Apple Podcasts. That's our main hub. We all are on Spotify. We have a lot of people listen on Spotify. But Ike Badgers, we're running a series called Badgers and Friends right now, in which we talk to 12 Badgers in 12 weeks. And some of the Badgers were, you know, in the draft process. They just signed with NFL teams. And, you know, Garrett Groshek went to the Raiders. I want to say congratulations to him. A couple other guys are making some moves. Really exciting guests yet to be unveiled. Yeah, Ike Badgers and Friends, every Friday, new episode. Check that out. Search Ike Badgers Podcast. That's how you're going to find it. Or just go on the website. And also Ike Packers, too. You know, obviously, can't just want to real quick, this Aaron Rodgers stuff has just been nuts. Go check out Ike Packers' take. You don't want to miss that. But lastly... Thank you for joining us, Bucks fans. You guys are some of the best fans in the world. We mean that. And you guys have been through the highs. You guys have been through the lows. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to get one. Trust me, we're going to get one. Al, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Brandon, again, congratulations on winning the Drew Holiday jersey. Really excited. We're going to get that sent to you. Just make sure to send us a DM so we can get your shipping info, and then we can send that out to you. Also, Bucks fans, you know, there's a loyalty aspect within this community. It's like Bucks fans are so loyal. It's I just have to applaud everyone. It's because
respect.
Like we were right there with you, weathering through those eras of Monte Ellis and Brandon Jennings and Andrew Bogut, weathering through the eras, you know, of John Salmons and, you know,
the false hope.
You name it. The false hope.
The false prophet.
And then you land on Brandon Jennings. Giannis. Yeah. But you get
we
Giannis,
love Brandon Jennings.
And essentially, Bucks fans, the loyalty is why Giannis stayed. Like, this city is a great city. The loyalty and the fans, they treat the superstars well. It's the minority of people out there, Bucks fans, who are the super negative ones. We see it. But, you know, most Bucks fans treat them really well, really loyal, and it's a great city. So, you know, wear that with pride. It's playoff season coming up, and that is going to be nuts. So thanks for having me, and as always, fear the deer.